Good morning, everybody. Good to be part of the service today, a very special service. It's a long and dusty road that my feet, they are traveling on. And sometimes, oh, the clouds are dark and low. But I've got to keep the faith and walk the straight and narrow way to reach that place that I will. My home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. Reunions by the millions everywhere. But the one that I so long to see is the one who bled and died for me. My home, the place I so many hold this world so dear, but I am just a stranger here, just passing through on a temporary stay. But I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven will be mine. I'll watch and pray, for it could be just any for my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. Reunions by the millions everywhere. But the one that I so long to see is the one who bled and died for me. My home, my home, the place I get my age, you just can't keep up with things. I don't know. He came to this world loving you. He led say the word. He didn't give. It took Jesus Christ to show us one love really is. He laid down his life loving you.
Amen. Thank y'all. And never forget that Jesus went to the cross loving you. I'm glad you're here today as we celebrate our celebration Sunday. Most people would say, well, I thought it's supposed to be called homecoming. Why didn't you call it homecoming, preacher? Because we're not home yet. Amen. I've never understood that. We're on the way home. We're here to celebrate the journey we got as the Lord is leading us to heaven. Amen. That's going to be the ultimate homecoming. And this morning, as we get started, I just want to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses, I was going to say 2 through 8, but I'll read the first verse also. It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. When Paul's writing this, and we read over these greetings a lot of time in New Testament letters and don't realize what he's saying, when he says that he's writing to the church here at Hunt Springs, who's in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means he's writing to y'all folks who belong to God. In the book of Revelation, he says that God's name was written on their foreheads. That means we belong to God. Now, I can't think of no other reason y'all are not saying amen except y'all didn't hear me. If you belong to God this morning, you're here to celebrate. So this is what Timothy says. And hey, we in this thing together. Paul, he's got the authority here. He's the apostle. He planted this church. But these other two, Silas and Timothy, was with him. And he says, we. In the next verse, hey, we in this together. God didn't call us to be a one-man army. God called us to work together in the building up of his church. So Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and your labor of love and the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you for our gospel. It did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. You also become imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you become an example to all believers in Macedonia and also in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia, but also in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything. I'm going to ask if Pastor Roger would open us in prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Beautiful, beautiful day that you have given to us. We thank you for this celebration Sunday, and we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this church. And Father, I pray that you'd be with Scott and Bobby as they sing. Pastor Wesley brings the message today. Father, this Hunt Springs Baptist Church is a beautiful, wonderful, loving church because of you. And like I said, the presence of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children say,
Amen. Now, if you turned over right fast to chapter 5, Paul says that I adjure you to read this letter to all the brethren. Well, I don't have time to read all 5 chapters this morning. So you'll know where this service is going, we're going to work through certain sections of this passage so that we can celebrate together. Now, y'all say celebrate. Because we're going to have a good time. Now, I know Gilbert saw them tables out there, and he thought this meal was his birthday party. But we're going to still celebrate. Now, it is his birthday, but this is to celebrate what God has done for us. So I just want us to think about when we thank God for one another, we're thanking for a work of love, a labor of love, and a steadfast hope that's in us. Look at this passage here. Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention. In other words, he when he's praying, he thinks about these church believers. When you are praying, when you're saying your prayers, do you think about the church believers at Hunt Springs Baptist Church? Do you think about the members that is here? He says, constantly bearing in mind, he says, your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God our Father. Now, what the crutch here that Paul is talking about is our salvation. Because we're saved, he says, look, when I come there, I was preaching in the synagogues, and then we left the synagogues, and we went from house to house. We was preaching, and it wasn't just the words that we was giving you. They come to you in power and with the Holy Spirit, and they convicted you that you needed a Savior, and that was Jesus Christ. And you confessed, and you were saved, and because of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, look what we see. You got a faith that works. You got a love that manifests itself in labor. And he goes on to say, and your hope is through endurance. You know, Paul writes to the Corinthians, because he was in Corinth right after this, and that's Jesse's favorite text there in chapter 13. And he says, you know, faith, love, and hope, and the greatest of all these is love. But we often talk about faith, we talk about hope, and we talk about love in the abstract. In other words, we talk about them as nouns. Yes, I love. Yes, I have faith. Yes, I have hope. But here's what Paul's saying. Guess what? When Jesus Christ is living in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, your faith manifests or results in works. You go to work. So we want to celebrate some things here this morning. Have y'all noticed this? Isn't this pretty? We got a lot of things that go on here and a lot of things through the years that we haven't got to recognize. But I want you to remember Miss Mary and Miss Rita and Miss Joyce and Miss Ruby and Miss Alma and Miss Linda and all the others. And then they had to have a sergeant at arms as Mr. Clausen. But I want you to think about the things that these ladies, when we first come here, they had a knitting ministry. A sewing ministry. They made the things for the wheelchairs. And then through the years, they have transitioned as more needs come up. If you remember, we had a revival, and the people from Kentucky was talking about the homeless kids. And out of that come these quilting ministries. And hey, this here is a work of love. It says here, made especially for you, Hunt Springs Baptist Church, Hope for Warmth Ministry. So the idea here is to touch these kids, and they make adult ones also, is to touch them and let them know the warmth of God's love and give them something that they can take with them to remind them of Jesus Christ. That is your faith at work. You know, often we think about, well, I got to do this, I got to do that for God to love me. Look, the Bible is clear. You don't work for your salvation. But once you get saved, your salvation puts on its boots and goes to work. And that's what you see here. We want to thank these ladies. Also, I don't have many pictures of this because usually the ladies is coming in the evenings, but Carol and Cindy, they do the Bundles of Hope, the diaper ministry. They actually been delivering them since COVID. Donna helped them some and others, and they help these mothers that are having trouble getting the diapers and all. This started off as a ministry. We hope to reach more of the soldiers and the military wives, but just, I guess, a little far for them to come up here. But this continually goes on. And so Paul says, look, we're thanking God that he saved you, but with the power of the Holy Spirit in you, what we're thanking him for is your faith that is at work and your labor of love. Now, when we talk about love, you know, we're not talking about, well, she looks good and I'll look good with her. Right? We're not talking about, yeah, I believe he got a good job. He'll take care of me. That ain't what we're talking about. Paul's talking about Christian love. You know what Christian love is about? Man, they hard to love. You know, I've heard Christians say this, and it just don't make sense. I love them, but I don't like them. Jesus says you got to like them too. And that's where the labor comes in. Right? Some people are easier to love than others. But Paul says he sees the love that's going on with them. Because he tells them, look, when y'all got saved, you had hope, and you got saved through endurance, through tribulation. Paul and them got run out of town. That's why he's writing this letter. He got run out of town because he was preaching the gospel and the people didn't like it. And so he's moves on. He's at Athens and then he goes to Corinth. And while he's in Athens, he's worried about them. These people got saved. They in a terrible place. It's like Las Vegas of Macedonia. And he says, you know, I'm worried about them. I don't know what to do. And he says in chapter 2, so me and Silas decided to send Timothy to you to see how your faith is going. And then Timothy comes back and reports to Paul and them. And that's when he writes this letter from Corinth. And he writes it and he says, look, we're thankful. Guess what? Y'all are still saved. You're working. You're loving one another. Even the guy you used not to like, you're getting along with him and mowing the yard. Amen. And so he's excited about this. And this is what we need to do. We need to be excited. But he goes on to say about their hope, steadfast hope. You know, hope. We often think of hope as like, I wish I could win. I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. That's not hope. Hope is about endurance. That's how hope manifests itself. When everything is going wrong and nothing's going right and you can't figure it out, you say, here's my hope. Over the top of this mountain, God's got something better for me. That's what hope is. It's the confident expectation that everything God said he's going to bring about. Some of them things might not happen till we get to heaven, but you say, look, I'm hoping. Hey, in Matthew, Jesus tells the disciples, if you got the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move that mountain now. How many of y'all, if you walked up there to one of them mountains next weekend at Urari and saw that mountain, you'd say, well, I got faith that God's going to move that mountain. Now, and you say, well, God ain't moved it yet. You know what you're supposed to do till God moves that mountain? Get a shovel and start digging. Right? One pile of dirt at a time. That's hope. Hey, I'm going to do this. God's going to move it. Don't know when, but I'll be shoveling until he gets here. That's what hope is. And Paul says, look, genuine salvation is why we're thankful. We're thanking God he's at work with y'all. He's keeping y'all working. He's keeping y'all laboring. He's keeping y'all in hope. Y'all are hoping for what? The future. Guess what? He says right here, till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he closes out this first chapter. So that is the gold of what we have. And look what he says in verses 4 and 5. He says, the gospel came to you in power and in the Holy Spirit with conviction. He says there, knowing brethren, beloved by God. Look, God loved you. We know he chose you because if he hadn't have chose you, we wouldn't see this power of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction that you accepted the gift of forgiveness from Jesus and you've been born again. He says, look, we see what kind of men we proved to be among you. You saw that we were saved. We was following the Lord. And now, he says a few verses later, we see and hear that everybody says, y'all are following the Lord too. You know, I don't need somebody, I don't need to go and tell everybody, Hunt Springs is doing good. When other preachers ask me, how's Hunt Springs doing? I say, just go look at the members. Right? I ain't got to tell them. It's the life we live that tells people what God is doing for us and in us. And this is what he says. Guess what? Has Hunt Springs got something to celebrate? Yeah, did you know we baptized 4 people this year? Now, y'all ought to be a little more excited than that. Paul says, hey, in power, they got baptized. And this morning, we want to recognize them for getting baptized. I was hoping Miss Tammy would be here. We got a baptismal certificate for them. I'm going to ask if Misty and Travis and Tony would come up here. If Tony can get up, we need to put him on the prayer list. He's got a hip issue going on there. I think y'all forgot I said this is a celebration. That means clap. I've known Tony for a long time, and through circumstances and all that, he come to know faith in the Lord and accepted Christ and wanted to be baptized. And we just thank him. And Miss Maureen used to come and sit back there. And Miss Sandra, I just thank him for everything that they do. And then Travis and Misty come with him, and they accepted Christ, and they've been baptized and become members of Hunt Springs Baptist Church. And y'all give them a big hand. Thank y'all. It's falling out. There you go. Thank y'all so much. Then we see that Paul goes on to say, and you also become imitators of us. You say, so I'm going to be like the preacher. No, don't be like the preacher. Look at the next clause. It says, and of the Lord. Hey, you can imitate another Christian long as they are imitating Jesus. Y'all got me? That's the idea. He says, look, that you got saved, you're following the Lord, you received him, you've got joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you become an example to other believers in Macedonia. Macedonia is the region. Thessalonica is in Macedonia, but all south of Thessalonica is Achaia. And he says, look, even the people up there in Pittsburgh are hearing about your faith and what's going on. And I want you to know that this year, the Lord has added some faces, some familiar faces, and some past faces to our congregation. This morning, if you have joined the church this year or since COVID, I want you to please stand up. We got several families. Y'all give them a hand. And we got a couple of more families that couldn't be here today, but we just want to celebrate them and thank them for being here. And here's something. We're going to have food about 11:45. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad, late or early. But either way, the reason I kind of left some room there is because a lot of times we get done with church and we rush right out the door. So today, when we got a little breathing room before we start eating, talk to somebody you don't know. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, first of all, just say, hello, my name is, okay? And get to know one another, because that's what Christ wants us to do and learn to do in the church. Guess what? You're going to live with all these people in heaven, so you might as well get to know them on earth. Amen? So this morning, as we continue, I just want us to look at the next section here as Bobby Ray and Scott sing, and we want to see that we should remember that we'll always, here's our hope, we'll always be with the Lord, and with these words we can comfort one another.
I enjoy so much hearing about the ministries of the church, and we just get up here and sing, so we don't know a lot of times. So I appreciate the labor of love, and we had just picked out a song sort of randomly. We all working for the Lord, and we enjoy what we're doing, but one of these days we're going to soon be done with our troubles and trials and our work, and we're going to sit down and rest a little while, I hope, in heaven. We're going to do this old song, "We'll Soon Be Done." Some of these days I'm going home where no sorrows ever come. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Safe from heartache, pain, and care, we will all His glory share. I'm gonna sit down beside of my Jesus, gonna sit down and rest a little while. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, and then home on the other side. I'm gonna shake glad hands with the elders, tell my kindred good morning. Then I'm gonna sit down beside of my Jesus, gonna sit down and rest a little while. I shall behold His blessed face, I shall feel His matchless grace. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Oh, what peace and joy supplied in that home of a love divine. I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus, going to sit down to rest a little while. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side. I'm going to shake glad hands with the elders, tell my kindred good morning. Then I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus, going to sit down and rest a little while. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. Yes, in that home on the other side. I'm going to shake glad hands with the elders, tell my kindred good morning. Then I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus, going to sit down and rest a little while. I'm going to sit down beside of my Jesus, going to sit down and rest a little while.
A couple more here in a minute, so we'll turn it back over.
Beulah Land.
Okay, you ready for that one? Okay. It's an honor to sing this song. As we get older and we see so many of our friends and loved ones who's gone on to be with the Lord in heaven, and heaven sounds sweeter all the time, doesn't it?
I'm kind of homesick for country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will my heavenly flight.
Amen. I love that song, and that was Mona's grandma's favorite song, and I think it was Miss Rita used to request Bobby Ray and Scott do that when they was here. And you know, Beulah means married to the land. You know, Isaiah, I think it's chapter 62, when Isaiah's speaking about Beulah land and speaking about the land being remarried to the Lord, he's talking about things being made right. You know, I heard someone say that the reason we had Hurricane Ian was because of global warming. Well, it was because of sin. Sin brought rebellion into the world, and all of creation is rebelling against its creator. And one day, all things will be made right. Paul says that all of creation groans, waiting to see what God's going to do. So, you know, one day we'll live in a place where a tree won't fall on your house, Miss Tony, where storms won't come, where things like that don't happen. And, you know, all of us can look forward to that. But when we have a loved one that goes to be with the Lord and they pass away, we experience grief because we've lost something. We've lost something that belonged to us here on this earth. But God gives us grief as a natural emotion to help us deal with that loss. And Paul is writing to this young church in Thessalonica, and he's writing to them because he wants to encourage them and bring them comfort. And in chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says here that we do not want you to be uninformed. In other words, Paul's saying, look, we're concerned about you, Silas and Timothy and myself. We know what's been going on there. We've got reports back. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren and sisters or fellow believers, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. He goes on to say there that he don't want you to grieve because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. I'll let you see so you know I'm reading this out of the Bible. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend. Can you imagine this? The Lord himself is coming for us. Amen? He says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. You know, is the Lord coming? Yeah, how you know? I'm going to hear him when he hollers my name. Amen? He's going to shout. Then with the voice of the archangel, I don't know which angel, but this angel is going to say, get up and get ready. And with the trumpet of God, hey, all the believers that belong to God are going to hear this. And then guess what? Those that are dead in Christ, those who have passed away, they will rise first. And then once they rise, look what happens next. Then we who are still alive and remain, y'all are sitting here today, we will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we shall always be together with the Lord. Here's the crutch of this. Paul says that we are to comfort one another with these words. When we lose a loved one, we know folks that's lost loved ones this year and in the last couple of years, and we didn't get to do some funerals and things together because of COVID. We need to comfort them and let them know, guess what? One day we'll all be together and live with the Lord forever. That is the glory we have. I've done a lot of funerals. I've talked to a lot of people at the hospital when different things is happening. You can tell right away if someone's saved or not when it comes to the end of life. You can tell right away if their families are believers. Do they miss them? Yes. But are they happy for them? Yes, they are. But here's what Paul wants us to do as far as encouraging one another. Guess what? We're going to spend eternity with God. That's the thing. Hey, it's just an extra benefit that our loved ones are going to be there with us. That's why we need to witness to them and share with them. I hate to tell you this. This is not popular, but it's only two places you can spend eternity. That's heaven or hell. And hell's hot and still heating. And heaven's forever. And we need to share that with people. But we can be encouraged by the ones that have been examples for us. Let me turn back just a minute, and I'll come back to this. But Paul says in the passage in the first chapter that you become imitators of us and of the Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 12, after listing the heroes of the faith in chapter 11, Paul says we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now, a lot of times that gets preached that they up in the stands and they cheering you on, you can do it. That's partially correct. But what Paul is saying in the context of them two chapters is, guess what? You got the witnesses there. You got Joe Namath and the old guys that used to play ball. They setting up in the stands, and when you're playing, you need to look up and remember how they played, and you need to play the game. And the Christian life is the same way. When we get to a point in our life when we say, what should I do? Look back at the Christians that was here at Hunt Springs before us and look at the example they set for us to follow. That's what Paul is talking about when he says that. I want you to think about Miss Alma Falk. Miss Alma loved this church. When she got where she couldn't walk, you know what? All she talked about was, I miss church. Tell everybody I said, hey. I wished I could go to church. You know, when we quit having Sunday night services, one reason was that we was going to do it because it was getting dark so early. Miss Alma would come no matter what, no matter the weather, no matter what, and she fell in her carport one night. And so we kind of changed the way we was doing some things so that, because the younger people wasn't coming. It was mostly the old ones. But Miss Alma loved this church. She loved gathering with the ladies in the sewing ministry. She loved talking about how the church got built, what y'all did when the church was starting with her and Alan. She loved to tell those stories, and she loved God, and she loved seeing what was going to happen here. And you think about Miss Alma, and just think about how she loved to cook and bring stuff to church. You know, when she was having to move out of her house and move into something smaller, she would call me and Mona and want us to come over there and pick out something. Well, I can't pick out nothing from your house. I want you to have something. Well, what do you want me to have? Well, this dish. Thank you. I mean, she just loved the church. And you know, we've been separated so much during COVID and during other things that we failed to think that we are being led astray from being relational to God and to one another. Did you know that everything you buy, sell, read, and think now is basically controlled by algorithms? Computer algorithms. If I buy a book on theology, Amazon will send me a list of theological books that should interest me because of my last purchase. The only problem is I believe in God, and most of the things they recognize do not. And so they say, this is what you ought to read. This is what everybody else is reading. Well, what about Miss Alma and the other ladies and gentlemen of this church? What did they used to read? The Bible. And Miss Alma, when she was at the rest home, her Bible would be right there beside her till she got that she couldn't read. And what about Miss Barbara Kelly? Did not know Miss Barbara was going to be in an accident. But the last word Miss Barbara told me when I was helping her up the steps in the fellowship hall was, if the Lord don't hurry up and come get me, this old body and heart is just going to give out. That was on Wednesday, and she was in an accident on Friday. She talked about Melvin, getting to see Jesus, getting to see Melvin, getting to see Miss Parrish. For her, heaven was just as real a year ago as it is this morning. She would call and just encourage me and Mona. So I just, you know, remember Miss Barber, how she would help with the different ministries. And Mr. Wayne Sellers, they was going to come back to the church, but his health, he never just got well enough at the end to come back. Miss Debbie's here this morning, and I don't mean to upset her. The last words Wayne said to me when the cancer had his mind and it was raining and he was laying in the bed and he was looking out the window and he said, preacher, he always called me preacher. He said, preacher, do you think God will give me just a little corner where I can have some peace? At his end of his life, his hope was in God taking away all that pain, all that confusion, and just give him some peace. We think we got troubles, but the saints that went on before us, they've set an example for us to follow. Hope is going through tribulation knowing that God's going to take care of it. You might not know how, but you trust that God will. And that's what Wayne, I remember him mowing all the things that he did. Watermelons, he loved to have watermelons for the kids. And Mama Jean, Jesse called her, Miss Jean Four, right in the middle of COVID. Couldn't have the funeral here. Later we had a little celebration, but we had the service out there by the graveside. Miss Jean Four, you might not know this, Miss Jean Four and Truman was one Sunday morning for Sunday school at Jonesboro Heights, was reading in the Baptist Recorder, and in the Baptist Recorder was an article, and the article said that if you belong to a big church that's got plenty of Sunday school teachers, deacons, blah, 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 got plenty of stuff, you should look for a church that is starting, a church plant, and you should go help that church. She said it laid a burden on her and Mr. Truman's life, and after the service, they talked to Pastor McDowell and told him, and he says, well, they're starting a church over there on St. Andrew's Church Road. We're going to miss y'all, but y'all go help them start that church. On her 90th birthday, when she blew out her candles, I said, Miss Jean, what'd you wish for? She said, I asked God to let me live long enough to see Hunt Springs full again. That's Miss Jean Four. Elegant. And I can tell you this, her favorite passage in the Bible was Psalm 27. First day I met her, that's the first thing she asked me. She didn't ask me my name or nothing. She says, what's your favorite Bible passage? And I said, Psalm 27. She said, mine too. She used to get me to read it all the time to her. But Miss Jean Four, Mr. Truman, those that went on before us, we need to let their example be an example for us. I know that y'all that's just been baptized, and some of y'all that's just joined the church might not know these, but y'all know people that's led a Christian life that gives you the same example. So follow them. But what Paul is telling the Thessalonians here is, what he's telling them is, you need to be an example for the next generation. You need to be setting an example for them. And Ma Mary had the church car. She said, the preacher loves my Mercury. Used to, after church, Mary would be in the passenger side, and we'd come out, and it didn't matter what we had to do. Where are we going, preacher? She'd want me to drive the car, and we'd load it up. Mary loved fellowship. She loved, that's how we met Bobby Ray. And I just want you to think about that. She used to share with us and tell us the things that went on, and how the church and things with Greer and Sunday school classes. She just loved this church. And Mr. Forrest Garner, he passed away about time COVID was getting started. We had a little celebration here, but a lot of people didn't get to come. Mr. Forrest, when his health got bad where he couldn't get far from the house and he couldn't come, he used to call me to come by to see him, and I'd go by there. I'd stop by anyway, but when I'd go by, the reason he was calling me was because he hadn't give his offering. And I told him, I said, you make me feel guilty because you called me to come over here, and I feel like you think I'm the only reason I'm coming over here is for your money. He said, no, Gene would get me if I didn't give. That's his wife. And so, you know, Mr. Forrest and I, you know, we got to be close, and he had an old ladder that didn't have but one leg on it, and he stacked up, and this is after he was like 86, I think he was. He put some brick up to hold up that side of the ladder, and he got up on the ladder, and he was working on his roof, and the ladder fell over, and he broke some ribs, and Miss Joy called and said, something's happened over at Pa's. The ambulance is over there. So I get over there, and I go to the hospital. I go in the back. I'm going to pray with him, and I said, Mr. Forrest, is there anything else I can do for you? He said, yeah, if you would, go over there and finish cutting that piece of drip cap off my roof. And I started out the door, and he says, but watch that ladder. Hey, we can have fun as Christians too. And then, I know she didn't go here much, but I lost my mama this year. And every Sunday morning when I start here, I still pick up the phone to call her, because mama would want to know every Sunday morning, what are you preaching on, who's singing, and call me after church and tell me how many people was there and what the Lord did at Hunt Springs today. So every time that I leave my house on Sunday mornings and every time I leave here, I still go to pick up the phone to tell mama what God had done here today. I just want you to think about this, and I want you to remember that the Lord uses us to be examples for the next generation. And as you think about that, on y'all's baptism certificates, there's a picture at the top of the baptismal certificate there, and it's a picture of Christ, and we was talking about this the other day. You can't see it good there. Christ is standing at the door, and he's knocking on the door. That's from Revelation chapter 3. And if you notice the artist when he drew that, there's no doorknob. You know, Christ is knocking on the door, but he doesn't open the door. He waits for you to open the door and let him in. That's kind of the theme of that. But I picked one of those cards up right there in a truck stop right after I got saved. And on the back, it's talking about if you're tired of the way your life is going, if you're tired of partying, and it leads you to the gospel message. If you're tired of living your way and not God's way, all you got to do is ask God to forgive you. Ask God to give you a new life. And then it goes on to say that once you're saved, you continually confess your sins and you continually live for God. So as new believers, guess what? Old believers stumble and fall too. Amen? Y'all agree? We need to let young people know, and we'll talk about this in just a minute, but we need to let young believers know that it's okay to struggle in things. But what you do is ask God to help you through those things that you're struggling. And a lot of things that we struggle in, other people's already been through them. That's why we share that with one another. And so as we think about these witnesses that go before us, we want to learn to be an example like they were to us, to be an example for other people too.
F right there. Okay. We'll throw a curve on Scott here this morning. This is an old song that was talking about all those that's gone on. I've sang this song since I was very young. Soon. Well, I'm enjoying this service. And we ain't through. We're not through yet, are we? But No. Now, I appreciate Wes, don't y'all? Just give Wes a hand this morning. He's worked hard for this service. You can tell that, so I appreciate it.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown?
We got a lot to celebrate. First of all, we've talked about we could be thankful that God's salvation comes in power and in the Holy Spirit, that He is still saving people. People are still obeying, being baptized, and He's adding them to the number here at Hunt Springs. That song, I'd always loved that song when I was young, when it come out, and I saw an interview years later with Kris Kristofferson, and this is back before everything you was so busy on Sundays. He didn't have nothing to do out of town, and some young girl invited him to a church service one Sunday night when they still had, blue laws and everything else was closed. He's at the church service, and he says he'd never forget it. He was sitting on the back row when they asked him why he wrote this song. He said, and the preacher was up there preaching, and I'm like, he's talking to everybody else here. This dude, this ain't for me. He is not talking to me. And he says, at the end of the service, I found myself at the altar, and I don't even remember how I got down there. But all I could think was, why me, Lord? That's the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to thank God that His salvation saves people. He's still in the saving business. We want to thank Him for that. And also, we want to appreciate those that He puts in charge over us. Paul, as he's closing his letter to the Thessalonians, he says, in verse 12, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Now, that's difficult because nobody likes a boss. Amen? But Paul later, he tells us what it means to have charge over someone. It's to give them instruction in the Lord. It's not to lord it over them. It's to give them an instruction that the Lord wants them to. And he says that you esteem them in very highly in love because of their work. And then live in peace with one another. So what Paul is saying here is we need to respect our elders and hold them in high regards, but we also need to show them we appreciate them. Well, how you do that? Live in peace with one another. And so it's two things going on here in the church. He wants the leaders to be recognized, but he wants the members to live in peace with one another. So it's more here than just saying this. See, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. I've got to be honest with you. I thank y'all for the appreciation, but you do know a lot of that's kind of that Hallmark thing where they sell a lot of stuff, right? Y'all got that? What Paul's talking about here, he wants you to recognize and tell your leaders that you appreciate them, but look what he says next. Live in peace with one another. Hey, when you get home, kids respect your parents. Husbands respect your wives. Wives respect your husbands. Y'all need to live in peace with one another. So, for God, when he put something in place in the church, guess what? It was in place at the house first. And that's what Paul wants us to understand. And today, the Lord has blessed us. I have to stay on track now because I got two pastors that's joined the church now. Amen. So when I'm preaching, I'm like, Lord, help me say what you want to so they'll know that I'm saying what you want me to say. Amen. But this morning, we'd like to recognize them, and I'd like to ask if Pastor James and Miss Diane and also Pastor Roger and Miss Mary Lois would come down this morning, if they would come down front, please. So you can see the... It says here, as they are coming, that in appreciation, this certificate is awarded to Pastor James and Diane Estes for their service in God's kingdom on the 9th of October in the year of our Lord, 2022. And we thank y'all so much for all that y'all do, and thank y'all for being part of our church. Thank you. Love you too. Thank you. And also, Pastor Roger and Miss Mary Lois, when I was having this printed, the lady says, I know them. He married me. Miss PJ. Sure did. So congratulations and thank y'all so much for being here. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. The Lord has really blessed us to, I've been praying for some leaders and Bible teachers, and the Lord has really brought them to us. And y'all be sure today and thank them. Also, we want to thank Bobby Ray and Scott, because we was talking about it last night, and Bobby Ray said, well, I've been coming a long time, but I don't get to talk to a lot of people. And I got to thinking about it. They had been coming for a while, but ever since the second week after COVID shut everything down, they come and help do the music so we could meet outside. And at least once a month, ever since, they have been here, and sometimes twice a month, and they always have been on call at the last minute when people cancel at either church. So y'all give them a big hand. And this is the first Sunday in a long time we haven't had a lot of kids. We've got two with us this morning, and I also see two infants, and I see that Mona's still holding a baby back there, I believe. Yeah, Miss Bristol. And so y'all lost your child. So I was going to ask her to come down, but because she's holding the baby, I'm going to ask if Miss Kendall will come here. Do you want to come help Miss Kendall? I want you to take this back there to Mona. It says this is awarded to Ramona Thomas for her service in God's company, God's kingdom, I'm sorry. So thank you. we'll have to check on the other kids, because I know I'd talked to them yesterday and they was going to be here, so I'm not sure what happened, but I will find out. And when we get outside, Pastor Samuel and Miss Celia Agilvy, that's doing the Spanish church back there, we're going to give this to them at lunch. They'll be joining us at lunch. So we'll give that to them at lunch. But we want to tell everyone how much we appreciate them and that we thank them for being here. And as we come towards the end of the service, I want to say this, that he talks about what we need to do as a church, and he talks about the leaders there, and he says that we urge you, brethren, to admonish the unruly. So people that's not living by God's word, people that need discipline, we need to tell them what God's word says, and we need to tell them that they need to repent and they need to do it. But that don't mean we need to do it in a harsh way, but we do need to stand up for the word of God and admonish anybody that's living outside of God's rules that's in the church. And we need to encourage the faint heart. So as Christians and as leaders and as church members, we need to encourage those that are faint-hearted. Some people just have a tough time. I've got a good friend that suffers from depression and always has. Sometimes their faith is not that it that it's not strong. It's just that they feel a burden on them, and we need to lift them up and tell them not to give up. That's why I showed you the pictures of the saints that's going on to be with the Lord. You know, I was thinking about my mama, and when she was 40 years old, she was legally blind in her left eye, and her other eye got worse throughout the next 50 years of her life. And the morning that she passed away, I missed her, but the first thing I thought about, when she sees Jesus, she's going to know him. Because her eyes had got so bad for the last 5 or 6 years. If she didn't hear my voice, she didn't know it was me when I'd walk up to the door and knock on the door. And I was thinking about Miss Jean Four, how she was just looking so forward to seeing the Lord. But we need to encourage these people, and we need to help the weak. You know, we've all got things that we're strong in and we're good at, and we've all got things we're weak at. If somebody is struggling with something, it's easier just to push them to the side. But hey, if you're going to labor in love, you're going to help work with those people and help them in their weaknesses, and then you got to be patient. Now, I say this all the time. Robin's tired of hearing it because about the Thomases, but we're not patient people. It just happens. What this word means is you need to have a long fuse, right? Well, I'm one of them kids when I was little and playing, the firecracker always went off in my finger, right? Because hey, you got to be patient with them. You know, we expect some people to do what we want them to and grow in the Lord faster than they are capable of doing. Part of our job is to learn to be patient and to work with them. And we need to do that. That's what Paul is telling us here. And see that no one repays one another with evil for evil. You know, I talked about this a while ago, a labor of love. Love is hard work. And Jesus says to the Pharisees on the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, he says, you have heard it said to love your neighbors yourself. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Here, what Paul is saying, guess what? If somebody does something in your church, you just got to get some thick skin. Now, you don't need to be a doormat, but you don't need to say, well, I'll get even with them. You wait the next week. As soon as they get to church, I'm going to tell everybody what they done. Right? What Paul's saying, don't repay this. Set an example. That's what we've been talking about today. You know, seek for what is good for one another. Paul writes to the church in Philippi and tells them to have this attitude that is in yourself, that was in Christ Jesus. Consider others more important than yourself. Look at how you can help someone. Look, I'm going to tell you this about love now. Love is a tough labor. If you really love somebody, that's probably the person that's going to give you the most trouble. Fact, right? Y'all agree with me? Am I on track here? Now, here's what he's talking about here. Look for their interest. If you really love somebody, it's not I love them, but I don't like them. It's I love them, and I'm going to labor for that bit of the image of God. Y'all are all created in the image of God. Every one of us, no matter how immature we are in our Christian faith, we've got the image of God in us. as Christians, our job is to say, well, I don't like this. No, that ain't our job. Our job is to say, I see where God's working, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to help till that gets to growing, and it pushes this other stuff out of the way. I had somebody call me yesterday and asked about addiction, and what do you do? I said, it ain't enough to stop. You got to replace it with something. If you're stopping something that you used to do, you know is not pleasing with God, replace it with something else. And that's how we help people. And now, he gives us some commands. So as we're closing, I want you to think about what we can do here is, first of all, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. In other words, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. Now, Paul says here with these commands, here's how I want you to consider others and what's good for them. Rejoice always. Does that mean I need to rejoice that I got a hangnail? No, but it means you need to rejoice that the Lord is helping you through that difficulty. Does it mean I need to rejoice when I'm sick? No, but I can rejoice because, hey, guess what? My worst day with Jesus is better than my best day without Him. That's what rejoice is. It is an attitude that gets built up inside of you. Hey, are y'all happy today? Or say, celebrate again. That's why we're here. You need to rejoice, and you need to pray without ceasing. But now, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. Amen. When he says pray without ceasing, he knows that you got to work, you got to do other things. But what he's talking about there is pray continually. If you're working and everything's going wrong and all your coworkers is making you mad, instead of blowing your top, pray. When you don't know nothing else to do, pray. When you hear about somebody struggling, stop and pray for them right then. Dr. Carson used to tell me, when somebody asks you to pray for them, don't say, okay, say, all right, let's pray right now. Stop what you're doing. Guess what? There's nothing no more important than praying for God's help and praying for one another. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, said this, I had to pray 2 hours today because I was too busy not to. Y'all get that? He had so much to do that he knew he couldn't get it done, so he said, I just stopped and prayed for 2 hours. And that's what we need to do. We got to learn to pray. And then he says, in everything, give thanks. Now, he didn't say, give thanks for everything, because guess what? Everything's not good. But in everything, give thanks, because you got hope that God's going to see you through it to the other side. Amen? And so we want to give thanks. And then don't quench the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I quench it? Look what it says in verse 20. By despising prophetic utterances. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. The New Testament hadn't been written completely out. The canon wasn't there yet. And then you had prophets like Silas that come and spoke for Paul what Paul sent him to tell them. And when he's talking about these prophetic utterances, we have them today in the Old Testament and the New Testament because that's been recorded. So when he says don't quench the Holy Spirit, it means don't say, I know God said that, but. Y'all get me? When you say, I know the Bible said that, but you're fixing the sin. You're trying to figure out a way to get around it. Is God looking? Well, yeah, he's looking. He already knew what you're thinking. So Paul says, look, the Holy Spirit is here to help you. The Holy Spirit's going to help you finish the race. He's going to lift you up, clean you up, pick you up, fill you up, and send you out. But guess what? When he sends you, say what he says to say. Let your yes be a yes, and your no be to no, and do what God says. And don't go changing definitions. I won't get into that today, but the world is going to tell you, you don't have to do that no more. Why? We passed the law. Hey, if it don't go with God's law, don't do it. Hey, you might not get a ticket for $180, but guess what? You'll answer to God for it. And so he says, look, don't grieve the Holy Spirit and examine everything carefully. So if somebody tells you, no, this is the way we do it now, you need to go look at the Bible and see if that's the way that God says to do it. If God says to do it a different way, just do it a different way. Well, how you know, preacher? Because I've tried the other stuff. I'm telling you, God's way works. It might be slower than what you want, but in the end, you'll win. And hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And look, I don't have to tell y'all what's evil. You know it before you do it. Anytime you look around, see if who's looking, you fix to do something that's evil. And then he says, now, here's the hope that we have. May the God him peace, the God of peace himself, sanctify you entirely. And as he says this, we're going to close with a song, and then I'm going to do the benediction right there. Or two songs, whatever y'all want to do.
Thank you.
I will.
Questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen lots of faces, but there have been times I've felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, God lets me know I am His own. Trust in God through it all, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do.
Now you all sing with me, would you?
Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
Paul closes by saying this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul, your body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us and greet the brethren with a holy kiss. This morning, as